Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
High school, a time where teens become adults and learn the rest of what basic education has to offer. A time where connections are made, and some of those linger for years, even long past the days of their youths. A place where chaos meets order, resulting in a beautiful thing we call controlled chaos. I'll admit, I was nervous to start physical high school as a sophomore, after quarantine caused my freshman year at high school to be at home. I'm not going to lie, I did very poorly my freshman year, and only moved onto the sophomore year because there were so many students flunking their classes for the same reason as me, that the school corporation couldn't possibly afford to hold students back, and everyone just went on with the next year. I would still say I'm lucky, however, as I have some friends in this with me. 3, not counting the ones who moved off but still contact me. Their names are Brandon, Seymour and Catherine, or Kat as we call her. We've all been together since our first year in middle school, except for Brandon. He and I go way back to first grade, and despite some rough patches in our friendship, we're still incredibly close. Brandon and I also share the same bus route, so we often talk on the bus about our lives, family, pets, you name it. Seymour and Catherine are unfortunately on a completely different bus route than Brandon and me, so we don't get to have early morning conversations, but I do happen to share a few classes with Seymour and Catherine. Seymour and Kat are both in my gym class every other day, and Seymour is in my English class on the same day as my gym class. We always meet at the same place in the auxiliary gym, talk for a bit, before Brandon bolts off to get to his class across the school before the bell. Pulling up to school in one of my rickety old buses that first day was, well, unnerving. My high school, for whatever reason, is actually surrounded by woods, with two roads leading in and out of the campus, one for cars and one for buses. Looking through the canopy of trees above as the bus rattled down the road put a sense of dread in me that I can't quite describe. Looking back at Brandon, I could tell he felt a bit odd about this too, even though he's already been inside the school more than once. The road was desolate as always, which honestly makes sense, seeing as to how there's only a small gas station, the high school, and an abandoned building down that way. Most townsfolk would never come here unless they had business in that area. So, in a sense, this area was cut off from the world. Brandon cracked a few jokes about how we seemed to have just wandered right into Silent Hill almost, to which I laughed, and occasionally made a snarky remark back to him. As we pulled up to the school, I could already tell that the first day would either go horribly bad or impossibly well. No in between. The building looked aged and weathered, but kept up to date just barely so that it wouldn't be condemned. The parking lot on one side was barren, no cars or people in sight, just the cracking concrete with the streetlights above them, occasionally flickering. The other side was full of cars, but still in the same rundown state. As we pulled slowly towards the area where the buses unloaded, Brandon made a comment to me that stuck out. "Did you know this school has a basement?" I didn't really know how to respond, in all honesty. I wasn't surprised at the statement, as a school this large would have a basement without anything weird going on. Yet Brandon still said it in a manner that made it seem odd, mysterious, and even foreboding in some ways. I eventually told him that I wasn't really surprised, as I began to gather my belongings to get off the bus. "It's been here for forever, but no students are allowed in," he stated, before popping a joke about there being a secret torture chamber below the tiled floors of the hall. I told him that it was probably just a storage room, or perhaps rooms that were intended for classes but were deemed unfit for day-to-day use, so they may have just closed it completely. As the bus slowed to a halt, Brandon smiled at me. "We should go down there at some point, you know." I chuckled a bit at this statement as the bus door opened with a hiss, as the whole vehicle began to sway as the students got off in a single file line. Brendan eventually jumped up in between this girl, who honestly looked too old to be attending high school, and a really tall kid who I later learned was named Brian. He blocked the other students from leaving for the moment it took me to get into the line, and we got off together and into the pale, cracked sidewalk leading up to the side entrance of the building. As we walked through the muggy summer morning heat, Brandon asked me where I was headed. "Gym, I believe," I replied, hoping I'd remember the schedule right. "Ah, I can take you there," Brandon said, speeding up just a bit to almost guide me into the building. As I set foot onto one of the concrete stairs leading into the side entrance, I got this strong, nostalgic feeling deep within me as my mind made an effort to recall the very first time I set foot into my elementary school. I paused for the briefest of moments before I stepped forward more and up those last few faded steps and into a threshold and through the door following Brandon. Entering the building, I was hit with a still air that made me cough a little. It was as though this was the first breath of life this building had felt in a century, and it honestly looked like that as well. Lockers with paint scraped up, revealing an old, rusty metal lined the walls, which looked as though they had been painted in the early 1800s by the condition. The tile on the floor was scratched, aging like the exterior, and fluorescent lights hung above us on the stained ceiling. I continued to follow Brandon through the maze of hallways, having to grab onto his bag as to not lose track of him in the surprisingly heavy flow of students. After a very brief while of this, he led me into a more open room. I quickly realized this must have been the main hall. Stairs of stone sat in the middle, leading up to the second floor of the building, congested beyond belief with students. I kept an even pace as I walked behind him, but now a little further back, taking in the view. After some time, he led me down a hallway that actually was remarkably well kept. The lights were shining bright, and the floor looked unscathed. The walls weren't painted, but the brick looked freshly washed. He turned left, and I followed him into a large, fancy gym. The court was on the lower level, and the bleachers we were walking past were raised up to view the games that would take place here. The gym floor looked newly waxed, and I kept following Brandon as I looked around the almost spotless gym. He then took me down another short hall to the left of the gym, and into another, smaller gym. This one was notably less kept, and it looked like the rest of the school. Boards covered the areas of broken, opaque glass way above, and the floor creaked below any weight. Brandon stopped for a moment, motioning his hands. "This is the auxiliary gym, aka where the PE classes are." He paused, just as Seymour and Kat called over to us. I turned, beaming as they ran towards me and Brandon, and Seymour waved. "Hey y'all, long time no see," Kat said, stopping barely 2 inches from me. Seymour caught up not long after and politely waved once more. "You in this class?" he asked of both me and Brandon. Brandon shook his head and said he had to get to his next class. I, on the other hand, nodded, and Seymour smiled happily. Brandon departed from us as Seymour and Kat led me over to a door on the far end of the gym, bolted up tight, with a rack of balls in front of it, as though it was a warning to stay away. Kat enthusiastically asked me and Seymour a question. "Did you all hear about the biggest rumor in this dump?" Seymour, as though he were acting, said, "Depends on what it is," in a tone so bored it was as though he would rather be in the pounding heat outside doing nothing than have this conversation. I answered after him, "I'm not too sure what you're talking about, honestly." A grin grew across Kat's face as she pushed the ball rack to the side, as Seymour visibly cringed. "Kat, if it's the basement, the teachers will have you hide," he stated, backing up a little, clearly knowing where this was going. Kat only giggled in response. "What else would it be, Seymour? Every year, students have tried to get into the basement, but not many succeed, as the door is bolted up tight. However, there could be another way in." She was cut off by Seymour sighing. "Kat, we haven't been here for a day, and you're already obsessed with the basement. How do you know it's not another supply closet?" he stated, rolling his eyes, and beginning to inch towards the bleachers. Kat's eyes widened, as though Seymour had called her a slur. "You don't know about the urban legend?" she asked, raising an eyebrow. Urban legend? I muttered, barely loud enough for anyone to hear in the ever-growing noise of the gym. I'd already heard about the basement rumor from Brandon earlier, but I, along with many others, had no clue about the whole urban legend surrounding the depths of the school. Kat turned to me as Seymour began to scan the bleachers for a place to get away from what in his mind was no doubt nonsense. Apparently, back in 84, the basements weren't so locked up. A group of students went down there, and when they got back up, none of them were the same. The group's leader became paranoid and shut down. One of the group members moved away, and the others all met terrible damage to their psyche. One of them, Sean, ended up screaming in hysteria in the middle of lunch, and apparently the paramedics had to take him away, she said, almost in one breath. Don't get me wrong, I love Kat and all, but she's a bit over the top, especially when she's excited about something, which I could tell she was. And what happened after? I asked, beginning to move over to the bleachers to find some place to sit, with her following. Nobody knows. There are some variations of the story, some being with the students never came back up, others with rumors of the gateway of hell showing itself below the tower we're standing on right now. But either way, it ended with all entrances to the basement being bolted shut and never being opened again, she blurted as we took the first steps onto the bleachers. I looked back at the bolted up door. It was a heavy metal, dented and scraped, but still too firm to be broken through easily. Two windows, made of a bulletproof glass, sat, dirted, as though it hadn't been cleaned by anyone ever, one on each door. Beyond that glass sat what seemed to be nothingness, a black void, creeping up from below the school, swallowing any light it had come into contact with, confined by only those two doors. I shuddered a bit at the sight, and my mind began to wonder. What was down there that led to it being bolted shut? I began to question my earlier theory of it just being more storage space, as if all of the doors of the basement looked like those did, then what did it mean nobody's been down there in a good bit? The rest of the day honestly became a bit of a blur until the English class, as I made my way to classes, weaving through the halls, hoping I wouldn't get lost, until eventually, I found myself in the upstairs room 204 with Seymour. I sat down in a seat that was assigned, that just so happened to be next to his. We talked idly for a bit, before the question of the basement came up. I asked him what he thought about the basement story, to which he just shrugged. It's a whole lot of crap if you ask me, he muttered, before burying his nose into a book, trying to avoid further conversation, until the final bell rang. The next day began the same as the first, and all was normal until about lunchtime. I walked into the crowded cafeteria before deciding that it was too packed for me to remain there. I left the small room and went into the hall where students lined up to enter the cafeteria. I traced my hand down the wall until a familiar voice called my name. I looked over to see Kat sitting by the entrance to the main gym with both Seymour and Brandon, talking and laughing about 2 feet from her. I jogged over to her before she grabbed my arm, then Seymour's, as she turned to Brandon, telling him to follow. She pulled us down the hallway, leading away from the gym and into a small, largely avoided area of the school, with a wooden door with a window sitting at the end. She let go and plopped down in front of the door as I sat down slowly, as Seymour and Brandon did the same. We sat in silence for about 30 seconds before Kat giggled some. So, remember the basement? She asked, much to Seymour's dismay. Brandon and I nodded as she rose up from the floor and jiggled the wooden door behind her. With a creak, it opened into a black void with stairs leading down into what seemed to be nothing. I looked over a school map and noticed this area existed, leading down into the basement. Do you all, say, want to go have a look tomorrow? Brandon paused before saying slowly, I'm not sure if this would be a good idea, he said, as Kat turned to close the door, making sure to not lock it. Oh, come on, silly. Those legends are probably not true. And besides, we'll never know if we don't look. Nobody's been down there in years, and that's exactly why we shouldn't do it. Nobody's been down there. It's probably not anything major, just black mold and asbestos, he stated. Kat turned to me, hopeful. I sighed and nodded, agreeing with her. I wouldn't be opposed to finding out what's down there, I stated, as curiosity once again filled my mind. Kat flapped her hands giddily as she perked up some. All right, Seema and Brandon, if you decide to join us, meet us here the moment you get into the building. Bring a flashlight, she said, before jogging off and down the hall, disappearing into the crowd of students. I turned to Seymour, who was glaring at me. What were you thinking? He asked sternly. I stammered for a moment before answering. Seymour, I know you're just as curious as me to find out what's down there. Plus, Kat managed to find this entrance within 2 days of being here at most. If we don't go down there after that, she'd never shut up about it, I stated, before Brandon spoke up. I don't know, Mike, he said to me. I have a really bad feeling about this, honestly, he sighed as Seymour began to stare at the wall. You said that about our trip to the aquarium. You loved it, and you even brought a season pass to the aquarium later on, I stated. He sighed before turning to Seymour. What do you think? He asked, making Seymour state his true thoughts about the basement. I think it's dangerous. There could be black mold, leaks, God knows what down there. It was bolted up for a reason, he stated, before I blurted something out that I hadn't even thought about saying. Then come with us, I stated, unsure of my reasoning. He stared blankly for a moment, before speaking up. Fine, be here at 7:35 at the latest, and unless Brandon is also going, I'm staying up here, he said, before marching back down to the main hall. I turned to Brandon, who I could tell didn't want to go down there. Fine, I'll go too, he stated. The whole rest of the day, I couldn't stop thinking about the basement. The second I got home, I threw my best flashlight into my school bag and immediately did a Google search of my high school. However, no matter how much I dug, nothing about the basement of it showed up. I ended up searching so long into the night that I fell asleep at the computer. Upon waking up, I immediately saw the time. 6:45 a.m. I panicked, jolting upright and grabbing my almost dead phone before throwing the nearest pair of shoes on and grabbing my bag. I booked it out of the front door just as the bus began to pull up. I narrowly caught it and the bus came to a halt, allowing me to board. I immediately talked to Brandon, who looked incredibly anxious about the upcoming event. When I told you about the basement, I didn't mean it seriously. I don't want to go down there, he said before I even sat down. I smiled and asked him one question. Did you bring your light? He nodded, turning down to his backpack and pulling out a large, D-cell flashlight that looked older than him. I chuckled some before I asked him lightheartedly, You sure that thing works? I asked as he put it back into his bag. I planned to grab this one so I wouldn't have to go down if it didn't work, he said, turning to the window and gazing out. The rest of the ride had no words between us until we got to the school. I got out of the bus before him, and he told me a simple phrase. Let's go. I followed him, despite his total shift in demeanor, as he led me once more through the halls and into the back area where we met the previous day. Once we got there, we were surprised to find Seymour, but not Kat. Seymour looked up with a fearful expression as we approached him. Without sparing any time, he spat out a sentence. Kat went down there. Brandon's eyes widened as he forgot all about his apparent fear of what was down there. We need to get her, he said with a low whisper. Seymour looked at Brandon with a face of disbelief. I'm not heading down there, he said before Brandon pulled his light out. Look, I'll explain it on the way. We need to get her out of there, now, he said, sparing no time as he went for the wooden door. Seymour's eyes followed him before inching forward himself. I stepped forward just as Brandon opened the door up, revealing the darkness once more. You made a deal, I said to Seymour, urging him to follow. He sighed but nodded, pulling his phone out for a light. One by one, we shuffled into the darkness, until all three of us were on the landing before the flight of stairs leading into the basement. I turned my light on and shone it around as Brandon closed the door most of the way. "We need to hurry," he said as he urged Seema and I down the flight of concrete steps. Whereas the main stairway looked run down, this one put it to shame. Stains from God knows when decorated the surface of the stone stairs, and various scratch marks accompanied them. Cracks in the stairs also became evident before I had even reached the halfway turn, and I shone my light up and in front of me, cutting through the darkness. What sat in front and below me was horrifying. A dark, wet hallway that seemed to mirror the one we were just in jutted forward, leading into what seemed to be nothingness as the temperature dropped as I descended. Seema and Brandon trailed behind me as they turned the lights on. Brandon told us both something that will stick with me forever as we reached the bottom of the stairs. "I don't care what you see or hear, we need to stick together, and the second we find Kat, we need to book it back upstairs," he said, as I wondered what he knew about the basement. I shone my light down the hall to my left, as the darkness in front of me took back over. Brandon glanced around before urging us down the hall. We walked into the pitch darkness, now in a temperature almost as cold as the winter's night, whispering among ourselves. Our feet clattering the floor was the only other sound to be heard, and the smell became mustier and mustier the further we walked. It was clear we were one of the first to set foot in here in forever. I shone my light above me, as Brandon and Seymour's illuminated the path I was pointing mine down. The pipes and wires sat exposed above us, and every light bulb we crossed was shattered. It became clear that the basement was abandoned before it was ever finished as we travelled further into the darkness for what felt like an eternity, before Seymour paused. His phone was ringing. I stopped my walk and went over to him as he accepted a call from our missing friend. It was Kat. He put the phone onto speaker just as she asked the question. "Where are you all?" she said with a murmur of voices behind her, signifying something impossible. She was above us, and in the halls of the school, still swimming with students. Our eyes went wide with collective fear and terror. We came down following you," Brandon stammered as Seymour's face ran pale. My hands grew cold, and I felt sick at her response. "I haven't even gone into the basement yet," she said, as my eyes focused on Seymour. He stammered his response out. I saw you go down there," before silence. My blood ran cold as Kat stated her next sentence. "I'm right outside the entrance we agreed on." I stared at Seymour, shaking. "Then how did Seymour see you?" I asked. Seymour's face contorted in fear of something behind me, as Brandon turned to face the same thing he was, all blood draining from his face. I spun on my heels, shining my light in that direction, as Seymour muttered one line. "What the hell?" I backed up some out of instinct as my light fully illuminated what the others were staring at. Its body had spindly legs, too thin to be humans. The torso appeared to just be a thin stick, barely holding the body together. Its arms dangled to the floor, tapping my foot lightly before pulling away. And its face was demented. Its skin was seemingly pulled back from its pale face, and several sunken eyes stared at me. Below it was what I presumed to be its mouth, but all I saw was a black, gaping hole. It stepped forward, impossibly quiet, as I stood there in pure shock and horror, before I felt a pull from behind. I turned around, dropping my light, leaving it to idly beam on that thing. I was being pulled by someone, quickly away from whatever that thing was. I was pulled through the destroyed hallways, and someone dragged me behind them before I found my feet on my own. I ran quicker than I ever ran before, following the patter of the person's ahead of me's footsteps. We tore down the hall, and I was certain that thing would grab me up and pull me back into that damn darkness. The feeling I felt when I saw the light shining in from the landing is indescribable. As the silhouette of Brandon and Seymour became more and more clear as we got closer. We ran up the first set of stairs before I turned to look back into the dark. That face peered at me from the darkness. It followed us without making a sound as it crept towards the stairs. I jumped up the stairs as Seymour and Brandon dashed through, back into the light. I ran through the threshold, tripping onto my face as I made it through, as the door slammed shut behind me. I looked up, only to see Kat staring at me in abject confusion. Brandon stepped forward, and Seymour did as well. I shuffled to my feet and told Kat everything. I could tell she didn't believe a word of it as she bounded to the door, only to be stopped by Seymour. He grabbed her hand, pulling her away from the door and down the hall. The moment I stood up, I was instantly nauseous as Brandon ran off to God knows where. I went home sick that day and haven't been back since. I haven't heard from Seymour until today, and Brandon only once. A simple text stating one thing. We're not doing this again. Kat, on the other hand, has been calling me non-stop, demanding to know what was going on, accusing me of making this up, etc. My parents are growing suspicious of my new behaviour, but still think I'm too sick to go back to school. And honestly, I hope it stays that way. Seymour messaged me recently, telling me that he was moving, and honestly, I can't blame him. I responded back, wishing him the best of luck, and that was that. It's only been 3 days since we went into that basement. And honestly, if you ever come across an area that you should avoid it. Those areas are closed off for a reason.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.